Good morning, everyone. This is Mondo Homunculero from the heart of Thanateros Studios in Casa de Mondo Zaskia, Phoenix, Arizona. It's the 25th of March, 2021, Era Vulgaris. Little headline news for us today. First of all, there was a challenge to the Heller ruling by the Supreme Court. A circuit court overturned it at their level, and we thought it was pretty cool. So we'll just see how this will go. It's really cool because Heller is bullshit, as we all know. Anyway, a lot of other things going on. People are suing. Swalwell and the other congressmen are suing. They're suing the Trump conspiracy fucks. A lot of other stuff is going on. Music is doing cool. Ginger, one of my favorite bands, is going to tour in 2021. They're coming here in December. December 12, 2021, supposedly the press room, which lost its liquor license temporarily and was shut down by the state. So they must be planning to reopen. Don't really like the press room. It's an okay venue, but there's really no seating there. and I have to have seating. I can't stand up all night. So, is it time to cancel culture? Well, I think so. That's an opinion piece in the New York Times this morning. So here's the big controversy, and I'm going to jump on this right now. I don't have a lot of time this morning. The big controversy right now is free speech. A lot of the proponents of, our free speech is being blah, 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 are full of shit, and here's why. When there's a private-owned company that has a forum, it's a private forum. It is not a public forum. So if you're a member of that social media site, yeah, there you go. This is Drudke, Blood in Our Wells. So if you're a member of that social media site, you don't really have free speech. You're at the mercy of the rules and regulations that they put forth on that site. So please, if you're going to hold your tongue, bite it off, because you're full of shit. You're actually going against capitalism, which is, I can't believe the people that defend capitalism, despite the exploitation and oppression that it causes via the workers. Yeah, it's just really hard for me to grab a hold of this whole capitalist nightmare that we live in. So if you want free speech, you could go and stand on the corner. If it's a public corner, you can go stand in a park and you can do your free speech. You can take your little PA system out there, plug it in, or run it off a battery job. There's your free speech. Right? Yeah, you don't like that, do you? Well, and I just like this MyPillow piece of shit. This guy is a piece of shit. Why do these guys love Trump so much? Is it because of his tax cut? Is it because they're fascists? I think it's really part of them are from the fascism ideology that they have gotten sucked into. They don't even know what it is. So they don't even really know that they're holding fascist views. Trump's a piece of shit. He's always been a piece of shit. We know this. If you do any research on him and his bullshit, you know he's a piece of shit. Now, just because people don't like your opinion on a particular social media site. Now, I had a comment removed because I attacked this cretin who is bringing up false information about immigration. So I attacked him as being racist and xenophobic, and he is. Yet that was removed by the gods of bullshit at Facebook. Well, they have a right to do that. I'm not defending them, nor am I condemning them. They have a right to do it. It is not a public forum. So you fuckers who think that Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and any other social media site is a bastion of free speech, wake the fuck up. Yeah, wake up. But you don't have free speech. And these are not public forums. So maybe what needs to be done is that a diverse group of individuals, maybe even individuals or a owner of a large server farm, get together, put together a big server farm, or not server farm, but put together a bunch of servers that can handle millions and millions of people, maybe even a billion or two people, like Facebook, and turn it into a public forum. You can say whatever the fuck you want. Well, you can say, well, Reddit does that. Well, no, they have censorship also. You could say 8chan does that. They have censorship also. All these have censorship. Without censorship, though, you are going to get pedophiles, because there is a large contingency of pedophiles who think that what they do is okay. That people have been loving children for a long time in a sexual way, and that it's okay for them to sexualize children. I even knew one of these, and he's an incel, and he's like a 400-pound whack job. I had to block him on Facebook because he's crazy. He was supporting Trump. He's an open pedophile sympathizer because he doesn't have any sex with anyone ever. You know, probably couldn't even pay someone to have sex with him. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I really liked the guy. I mean, I did some really cool stuff with him. I mean, he channeled Satan. That was fun. God damn, that was fun. I wish I still had that recording. I'd put it up here. And I really liked the guy, but I had to X him out because he's an idiot. He's crazy. He's a bona fide whack. Yeah, bona fide whack job. How do you like that? So, when publishing companies take someone like Dr. Seuss, who's dead, been dead a long time, and start knocking out some of his books, which had a lot of racist or xenophobic undertones, when they do that, it's their right to do that. They can do that. I don't know where in the fuck these idiots in the Senate and the House, these Republicans, because they are very repugnant bastards, where do they get off? Where do they get off doing this shit? It's like they're completely ignorant. I think they're doing it, though, just to distract, to take away so they can continue to obstruct the needs of the people. See, these fuckers, they don't care about our needs and wants. Now, on my other podcast that I'm on, it's not my podcast, it's the Two Stone Dudes podcast, it's Ryan's podcast, we had this guy from Texas on. He's really cool. He has a really cool podcast. Very cool. His name is Johnny Blaze. I just really like this guy. He doesn't do politics. Well, I don't know why he doesn't do politics. Okay, so there's a lot of people that don't like politics because it rubs them the wrong way, because they're weak fucks. That's right. I went off there, didn't I? They're weak. You have to be able to enjoin different ideas, and you have to be able to give people the space to espouse them, which we do on that podcast. And, you know, people don't like politics because a lot of them are ignorant. They don't want to do any research. They don't want to read up on anything. They don't want to be informed, or at least partially informed, according to their bias. This is why people don't like politics. It rubs them the wrong way. It's just like I was running into all these fucks that like Trump. They couldn't really tell me why they didn't like Trump. No, they had no clue why they didn't really, or why they liked Trump. People could tell you why they don't like Trump. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, I can tell. Well, I don't like him. I'm not going to go in there because to give him any steam is tragic because he doesn't deserve attention. Yeah, I'm just not. I'm not a big fan of that type of thinking. Okay, so at some point, maybe we'll have some meaningful dialogue or meaningless dialogue with Trump supporters who are still Trump supporters, why they like Trump, and so we'll see if they will give us the space to actually ask them if these facts that they're reporting. There's not most of this stuff's not fact. What a lot of them liked about him is that they think he's a strong man. Okay, so he's such a big strong man. Let's look at the supporters who abandoned him after the January 6th debacle. That was pretty telling, wasn't it? He told him he was going to meet him down there at the Capitol, and that they were going to do this together. And what did he do? He retreated into his TV room at the White House and watched the whole thing. No, he wasn't there. You know why he wasn't there? Because he's a fucking coward. Now, maybe when he was a kid, he got into some scraps and he probably had bodyguards, so they didn't go very far. I'll tell you this, though. He wouldn't have never made it in my neighborhood, even with bodyguards. He'd have got his ass beat. That's true if he'd have grown up, you know, in a tougher section of the Bronx and went to public school. Well, he couldn't go to public school because he was always getting in trouble, I guess. We don't have any reports if he got his ass beat. It's pretty plain he didn't get his ass beat enough and that his dad, that old Nazi piece of shit, didn't get his ass beat very much either. So I love this. You know, now, I've talked to people who are business people, and they like Trump because they thought Trump was good for the economy. But they ignore the fact that the progress that was made in the economy, primarily, not all, primarily, though, probably over 80% of that progress, was from the previous administration's policies through the Federal Reserve. And let's face it, you know, Democrats, the center Democrats and the right-wing Democrats, and there are right-wing Democrats. Look at Joe Manchin. What a fucking idiot. Of course, he represents a contingency of idiots, in my opinion and in my observation. They are Wall Street supporters. Now, in Manchin's case, he's a fossil fuel supporter because coal, good, clean coal, no such thing. I love it that the coal industry is taking a shit. I love it. Fuck the coal industry. At any rate, that's what's going on. We have a lot of ignorance. We have a lot of bullshit. We have people who don't want to be informed. They just want to go out, work that job, get that money, eat that food, get entertained, get laid, raise their kids. They want this whole thing of public responsibility, which they're shirking. And I have shirked it a great deal in my life, so don't get me wrong. There's the self-righteousness here is really my own call to order. We need to practice social responsibility. We have public responsibility as citizens, and most of us have shirked it because the consumer economy, and that's really what we have on a general basis, we have a consumer economy partnered with Wall Street, with the fossil fuel industry, and with the financialization segment of our economy. That's what our problem is. And, of course, you know, any social-type consciousness or public consciousness we might have as workers has been completely pushed down by the anti-labor forces. And by anti-labor, I mean anti-union. Unions have a very positive effect. Now, here's the thing about that. It's not all positive because there has been corruption in unions. Look at the retirement fund scams and all these types of things that have happened over the years. Yeah, there is a problem with that. Now, but what we need to do is we need to have people get involved. People don't want to get involved. We want to put everything on automatic pilot. I do. I don't even want to take time to pay my bills. Yeah, that's how lazy I am. That's how much into the consumption economy that I have been, that I have chosen to pursue. So yeah, we're all guilty. Now, there are people that don't ever want to work. They maybe they inherited their income. Maybe they inherited several other things. Okay, so yeah, I got you. I didn't, you know. You know, I inherited money and I worked, though. Worked for years. Made a few million, of which I don't have much to show for, over the last 20 years. Big deal. I spent it. I lived in it.
I didn't understand that.
I tell you, I get this phone. This phone is a piece of shit. It really is. What is it called? I hate it. Bixby thing goes on and it just goes on by itself. I want to delete it off the phone. I don't like it. I don't use it. I search for things with text primarily. I will use the Google voice recognition occasionally. I've gone to Go.go. It's far better. It's cleaner. Google is a cesspool. See, if people will stop using Google, what a joke that is. If we'll diminish our use of Google, if we don't buy shit from Apple, if we minimize our use of Windows, and yeah, Microsoft is a major piece of shit. But for you to go from Microsoft to Apple as though that was a good transition, no. Look at what Apple does. Apple's monetized everything they do. They're ripping us off. Apple rips us off. Fuck Apple. They're just as big, if not a bigger, ripoff than Microsoft. So fuck Apple. Fuck, you know, I'm glad the prick that started it is dead. He was an asshole. We can go on and on and on with all the tech giants that are pieces of shit. Look at Amazon. Amazon's a piece of shit. There's people that love Amazon. They want to, you know, they eat the corn out of Amazon shit. I use Amazon. Okay, guilty. Why do I use it? Because it's convenient. Now, if I can use somebody else and find what I'm looking for from somebody else at a fair price, it doesn't have to be the lowest price, with good service and delivery, I will prefer them over Amazon every time. And that's what we, as participants in the consumer economic society, that's what we ought to do, is we ought to search for smaller entities than Amazon and do as much business with small local businesses as much as possible. That's what's good for us in our local economies and our national economy. Most small businesses are fairly ethical. I've been working with them for 40 years. Most of them are fairly ethical. There's some that are not ethical. They'll out themselves. That's my experience, my limited experience working with thousands of them. I don't say that that's the gospel fact of anything. Well, the gospel is not fact anyway. So when we run into these big monsters like that, these big monopoly oligopolies, these big oligopoly things, then the best thing to do is to find an alternative. If we can patronize companies that are small, that offer a local service and delivery, then we got to do it. Now, here the last couple of minutes here before I stop for this segment. this last couple of minutes, I want to talk about the pandemic. Pandemic's still going on. Now we have that new UK variant that's attacking the younger people, the people under 65. That's right. And these people are getting sick, and they're getting very sick, and most of them are not vaccinated. We also know, and I've just read an article recently that showed that there were several people who got sick with COVID after getting fully vaccinated. They didn't get as sick. They didn't have to go into intensive care, most of them. The severity was much less. What it tells me is we're going to need a booster at some point because these viruses are going to continue to mutate. Now, this new variant, see, people get complacent. Okay, so 130 million people have been vaccinated. 14% of the population's been fully vaccinated. That's great. This is great news. It's great. However, we got 35 million people in this country, 335 million, something like that. They all need to be vaccinated. Over 90%. And then that's going to quash the other variants until another mutated strain comes up, which is vaccine resistant. And that'll probably happen like it does with the flu. That's the only similarity I'm going to point out. Because viruses will mutate. Viruses, because their only impetus is survival and replication. They will mutate in order to do so. So people get complacent. They think, it's safe to go out now. I don't have to wear a mask. I can go everywhere. I can breathe on people. I can lay on top of them in the bar. And, you motherfuckers that are in the 20 to 44 group, you better watch out because that virus has found a great vector in you guys. And it's going to fuck you up. And it's going to get people really sick. It's going to do whatever it has to do to replicate. And it's a mindless genetic program. I'll be back later. Good morning. This is Mondo Homunculero from the Mondo Homunculero podcast. It's Friday. Hello, Americans and the rest of the world, which is larger than all of America. Glad to be here on the 26th of March, 2021, era of Vulgaris. Glad you're alive. Glad I'm alive. Hope that the rest of us have a prosperous and let's make it a happy day by pulling that up first of all. Let's pull up what it feels like to be happy. Yeah, let's pull up that feeling because it's pervasive. It's all-consuming. Yeah, you feel it? Yeah, I can feel it. Oh, yeah. Does it bring a smile to your face? Yes, it does. Yeah, feeling happy now, huh? Blood in Our Wells by Drutke. Pretty good album. Okay, on with the headlines we're going to cover today. What is Consciousness? Some New Perspectives from Our Physics Project by Stephen Wolfram. For years I've battled it away. I'll be talking about my discoveries in the computational universe and computational irreducibility and my principle of computational equivalence. And people will ask, so what does this mean about consciousness? And I'll say, that's a slippery topic, and I'll start talking about the sequence, life, intelligence, consciousness. I'll ask, what is the abstract definition of life? We know that the case of life on Earth with all its RNA and proteins and other implementation details, but how do we generalize? What is life generally? And I'll argue that it's really just computational sophistication, which the principle of computational equivalence says happens all over the place. And then I'll talk about intelligence, and I'll argue it's the same kind of thing. But if we generalize, it's just computational sophistication, and it's ubiquitous. So it's perfectly reasonable to say that The weather has a mind of its own. It just happens to be a mind whose details and purposes aren't aligned with our existing human experience. I've always implicitly assumed that consciousness is just a continuation of the same story, something that I've thought about in length enough. Generality is just a feature of computational sophistication and therefore quite ubiquitous. But from our physics project, particularly from thinking about its implications for the foundations of quantum mechanics, I've begun to realize that at its core, consciousness is actually something rather different. Yes, its implementation involves computational sophistication, but its essence is not so much about what can happen as about what having ways to integrate what's happening to make it somehow coherent, and to allow what we might see as definite thoughts to be formed about it. Interesting. We're not going to go on. It's long and it's very intellectual. And it's quite excellent, to be honest, in my opinion. But I have some friends who disagree with me on all these levels because, and they are scientists. And one of them is a literary guy. I think it's funny, but it doesn't mean he's not smart enough to figure that out. So we have a lot of different definitions for consciousness, and essentially, we really don't know what it is outside of the fact that you have the physical definition, which is that we're aware of what we can perceive, and then you have more esoteric definitions. Some people say that consciousness is everything, that life springs from, or consciousness springs from life, or that life springs from consciousness, or that consciousness is everything. That's interesting. I'm not going to take a view on this. I'm going to remain agnostic on that topic because we just, from my view, and I'm more of an empiricist, I guess you could say, not so much deep in the science and the facts as I used to be 30 years ago. What I'm going to say is that we don't have enough plausible, verifiable, experimental, reproducible information to make some broad, deep statements. And then you can get into free will, which now some scientists say there definitely is free will. We definitely have a say-so in our little finite span of existence. What blows people away on that topic is that finite existence phrase. I mean, we live so long. If there's no time, and I just think time is just a convention that we thought up so we could measure certain things. That's what time is. We have no time. There's no time. We have a span of life which might be X number of events, which really does constitute X number of events, I think, if you look at it. And we can turn that into a timeline of past, present, future. And we can look at that if we want. I mean, there's some great NLP techniques to look at time. So I was asking a friend the other night, I said, well, where is today? Where is that? Right in front of his face. Where is 5 years ago, way behind me? Where's the future? It's fuzzy. I can't see it. Okay. That's his view of the event pattern of his life. So we all have some event patterns that are happening in our lives, and that really, in a sense, constitutes our life. Now, in that event pattern, and this is my thinking, probably that's eternity for each one of us. So to me, the whole concept of a soul, which I just find to be an antiquated, outdated, useless term. Why? Why is it so? because too much of the time, the term soul gets equated with something much worse, in my opinion. It gets equated with a spiritual existence of the self in that span of life. It gets equated with that as existing beyond that lifespan. Let's face it, folks. It does not. It does not go beyond that. No, it doesn't. In that, there's your soul, motherfucker. It doesn't exist. Okay, so for eons, magicians, I don't call myself a magician. I think it's just a little bit too egocentric to label myself as such. I call myself a practitioner. I'm a practitioner of magic. I practice techniques and create procedures which we'd call rituals to achieve results and effects. A lot of times the results and effects are different from the intention that I have originally stated. When it comes to these eternal questions, I'm referring now to lifespan. So we have this lifespan, that's eternity for me. So if I had a spirit or a soul, it would be contained in that lifespan. Now, that's not to say that that lifespan doesn't have an etheric quality, which I believe at some point that etheric quality could possibly have instrumentation to measure it. That's right. Now, that's the point of agreement that my friend who really does study consciousness, he's a professor of experimental psychology, and he actually studies that. That's where we have our agreement. Our disagreement is on the afterlife nonsense. Now, there was the one guy down in Tucson, and I forget where his colleague was, and they had this idea that in DNA, that particularly in the, I think it's the telomeres, that there is something there which says consciousness has a physical component, and possibly there is a type of spirit or soul component to all of this biologically. Okay. I think it was, what was his name? Penrose. That was the guy. Penrose, right. At any rate, we don't have a definitive answer on that. We don't have experiments define all of this and elucidate it to the point where we can make definitive statements. Now, I do like the idea that we can possibly, if there are really certain useful fallacies like wormholes and the consciousness foam, the continuum, that we can actually inject our consciousness or our spirit through to go to past, present, future, possible outcomes, possible scenarios that could develop from current conditions. Okay, that might fucking happen. Yeah, and that's what in the magical practice we work with. We attempt to change the outcome of, in accordance with what we think is our will. Now, I think there's components to will. We have the will that seems cognitive and conscious and out up front. And then we have the will that's subconscious. Now I'm going to take this to a rather gruesome level. Now, I had a son. I loved him dearly. He was addicted to attention from people. And he loved people, and people loved him. And that was, in my opinion, an asset of his character. However, he had a subconscious desire to murder himself. And he did. He murdered himself. There's a lot of conjecture about this and that, and then there's people talking to the dead. God, I really disdain all of that, because I don't believe that there's life beyond death. Okay, so there might be a hologram that's left over from that stream of life, an artifact of consciousness, which maybe has a survival beyond death. Of course, my experience with dying is definitely there is not. Because I died twice, and let me tell you something, there's nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is not really, in my opinion, in the human perception, something we can perceive. At any rate, that's an example, as far as I'm concerned, of different components of will, because you have that subconscious will. Now, other people who practice magic, or they like to call themselves fucking high magic practitioners or magicians or ceremonialists or whatever, they believe that there's a divine component to will. And some of them believe that it is a definite component of their will they can get in touch with. And that's the whole idea behind the practice to gain contact and communion with one's higher self, or holy guardian angel, or Aeogides, whatever you want to call it. And I've had that experience. And I won't go through the methodology I went to get it. I did most of the work of Abra Malin, the mage, when I was heavily into ceremonialism. I didn't get there through that, and I didn't do everything perfectly, etc., etc. Back in those days, I'd even pray and actually believe in it. However, my experience happened to me during a magical Celtic pathworking. And I came in contact with the hallucination that to me represented my higher self, or at least a component of that. So I got in contact with that aspect of my will. So we have, you know, three basic components of will, I think. You could even break that down to the shamanic level. We have the low in this physical world aspect. In other words, the base aspect, more like an id, more like an animalistic part of our will, you know, concerned with survival and reproduction. Some people would say this is the main component, because our real evolutionary will, quote unquote, has to do with reproducing and survival. Fuck yeah. Then we have the will of living in the mundane world. Okay, so that's the living component, where we have cognitive aspects and aspects of intellect and all that, and we've already talked about that. And then we have the will of the higher self, or of the upper world. This is kind of the shamanic view of all of that, my interpretation of it at any rate. And I practice a lot of what I would call pseudo shamanism, quasi shamanism, maybe even to the extent of neo shamanism. I was never trained by any native shamans, so people would negate my experience on that basis. But the old literature, what's the gentleman's name who wrote the book on shamanism? It's actually an excellent book, an excellent treatise on that. And an old colleague of mine and myself wrote, was an excellent white paper on shamanism. Of course, I'm going to say that because we co-wrote it. And anyway, she's a marvelous person. And her husband is one of my greatest friends of all time, even though we don't really talk very frequently anymore. And here's to you, Sora Ursa and Frater Jacobari. Here's to you, too. I love you. Magical friend. In this, getting back to will and what will means and how will gets affected in practice. How does it get affected in practice? Yeah, what's that all about? It gets affected by what we do and what our intention seems to have as its components. And that's where a lot of analytical work goes in. What is my intention? Where is it coming from? You could even take a shamanic view of it, which is what's the lower aspect? What's the in this world aspect, cognitive human aspect? And what's the higher self aspect? You could look at that. In other words, what's the magical reality and what's the mundane reality and its components? So the idea, going back to the old Crowley definition, is causing change in accordance with will. Yeah, the coffee tastes great this morning. I make cold brew every morning. Actually, it takes about 16 hours. I usually leave it for over a day and a half. It brews in the refrigerator. I grind the beans coarse to get an excellent brew, and free of acids and no upset stomach. And what I have to watch, though, is very, 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 very strong. So I could get too tuned up, depending upon what my free testosterone and testosterone absorptive levels are. I can get a little testy, a little cantankerous, a little curmudgeonly, as some of my friends say. Anyway, I love you guys out there who I know and who know me. And we might disagree on a bunch of shit. That's fine. You know, I tolerate or accept all that, and that's okay. Doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right. I don't give a fuck about that. What I care about is effectiveness. And I think in that respect, our relationships have a great deal of effectiveness. So now I'm going to jump to the components of everyday life and their magical implications. What two friends of mine who I formed an egregore with. Now, what is an egregore? Egregore is a group mind. Yeah, it's a group mind. Now, we can train or entrain or program that entity, which is a combination of individual, I believe, consciousnesses, give it capabilities to perform for us what we will. So these friends of mine and myself formed this egregore. I'll tell you the name, and I'll even tell you the call. Since you're not involved in it, it doesn't mean you can join in on it, and it doesn't mean that you can try to fuck with it. I mean, you can try to break the protective security that we have on that. You can attempt that if you want. So I'll go ahead and tell you. Its name is Kuse, and its call is Tezgeet. And its mantra is, hey, wee woe, 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 hey, 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 woe, 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 wee, wee, wee. Hey, wee woe, hey, wee woe, hey, 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 wee, wee, woe, woe. What does that mantra actually mean? It means health, physical well-being. That's hey. And then we is wealth, and the many components that make that up in the individual consciousnesses. And then there's woe. I know it's the first two letters of the word woman. And we mean connection. Women, we believed at the time that women's purpose when it comes to relationship is connection. With men, well, it's hard to escape that logical conclusion or what we'd call useful falsehood. With men, it's about sex. It really is. I mean, most men, we want sex. So when you're young, you definitely are ruled by testosterone. Men are, we are. And we, a lot of us, most of us want sex. We want to have sex with women. Or if we're gay, we want to have sex with other men. Or if we're bisexual, we want to have sex with men and women or transgendered or whatever. We want to have sex. As we get older, we and our testosterone levels drop. Here's our endocrinology, our sexual endocrinology lesson for the day. And as those levels drop, it becomes more about the woe part, the connection part, the relationship, the companionship, the partnership that we can have with another person. Myself, I love women. I want to be with women. Love women. I don't have a woman in my life right now who lives with me or who I'm dating or having sex with, and that's really okay. Yeah. You know, and I have a pretty high testosterone level, but what I learned, here's an interesting occurrence in that span that we call life that happened with me. I finally came to the conclusion after a long period of time that the anxiety that I felt for years and years and years, and I reached that, the anxiety that I felt went away, and I reached that point by having a way below normal for my age and physicality testosterone level. I no longer had any libido. And it was kind of weird because my a type of woman I would have a great physical sexual preference for would come into, you know, would make herself present either just by walking by, not actually, you know, consciously doing it. And I wouldn't get excited by it. It wouldn't give me an arise. I wouldn't even have a mental erection over it. Now, at first that was troublesome. And then it became very freeing. You know, and this is a point that some men reach through meditation and practice, types of practice. I didn't reach it that way. I reached it via low testosterone levels. Interesting as it was. Now, I wanted testosterone because basically having no libido ruined a relationship with the woman I love dearly, and I still love her with all my heart. I don't have anxiety over her not being my life. Sometimes I miss the fact that I could sit and talk to her for hours and then we could go to bed. Oh my God. I mean, she was like a goddess to me. And unfortunately, I lost my libido and she lost her desire for me, and our relationship crashed and burned over a period of about a year after 5 years. It was very sad. From that, I learned, though, that I needed to have testosterone again. So I got a prescription for it, and I've been on it ever since. And the beauty is I retained that ability not to have an immense amount of anxiety or we're having a sexual relationship. Of course I would like to have one. I would like it if a woman was living with me that desired me, that I desired, that at any point we could have that immediate recognition of going to bed with each other. I'd love it. I don't have it right now, and it causes me very little anxiety. My son's mother is still attractive to me. However, the train wreck of events that she fosters with a lot of her thinking have become very undesirable. And we're friends, and I really like that part of our relationship, and it's very useful. As far as looking for another partner, well, I'd like to have another partner, of course. Now, there is a woman whom, oh, God, if she and I lived in the same area, we'd see each other all the time, and we have chemistry, and we love each other. However, she lives 800 miles away, and I don't travel well, and she doesn't get a chance to travel. So, there we go. We're on kind of a semi-permanent pause. And, you know, time is moving on. I mean, age is moving on. I'm going to be 68 in about a week. It doesn't mean that my capacity to live my life to its fullest extent has diminished. It has not. It has not diminished. At some point, she or they, the theys of she, will come. Lights coming out of lower light into view and into feeling. There will be that spark of recognition that we see in each other. That instant, what her idea of me that's attractive is, and my idea of her as attractive seems. And there will be the encounter, or series of encounters, that result in really thinking we know each other and feeling like we know each other and have that mutual positive regard that seems unconditional. And we will sit, talk about what we think and feel. Touch each other without touching each other and then touching each other and enjoying. For me, a big deal here is will, the will to recognize, to feel recognized, to have that mutual recognition that comes from the melding of individual recognition perceptions. Such is the consciousness of sex and love. Now, of course, we might argue on an evolutionary basis that this is the will to reproduce. It probably might actually wind up that way. However, at 68 years old, I know age is just a number. However, I don't think I'm putting out many swimmers these days. Probably not going to happen. Most likely not going to get a woman, young enough in her reproductive cycle to spawn. It's a nice thought, isn't it? I used to tell myself after having a successful father-son relationship with my son, which you could say wasn't successful because he killed himself, which I could say was successful because he told me it was successful, and that was his perception, whether or not he was lying. And he was very two-faced. I mean, he would come to his mother and tell, "Dad is such a fucking dick." And then he would come to me and go, "My mom is such a cunt." And then he would he would tell his friends all kinds of shit about both of us. So I'm going with what he told me as what his true perception was. And he always began our conversations with, "Dad, I love you." And we ended the conversations the same way, with big hugs and, "Son, I love you," and, "Dad, I love you. And I can't wait to see you again." And I will never see him again. Very sad. Very, very sad. A very, very sad series of events that make up the span called life. Many people have come and gone from my perception of the events in my life. Many people will come and go as I have come and will go from theirs. And blood is thicker than water, except when it turns into diarrhea running down your leg because you didn't make it to the shitter in time. Yeah, there's that hillbilly perspective. And my son and I, we used to do this thing where we used to call it the Adventures of Heber. And Heber was kind of that ignorant mountain man personality that he and I identified in each other. And there would be little things like, Dad, look what I just found. God damn, it's a wet Tootsie Roll. Fuck, Heber, put that goddamn turd back in the toilet. So one of the things that we like to tell our political adversaries, that's a nice term, or enemy, is eat shit and die, motherfucker. Now, you can't say that. You can't state that on Twitter. You can't state that on Facebook. And you can't state that on Instagram. But I really don't care because I don't need Twitter. I don't need Instagram. And I don't need Facebook to spew my epithets because I have this forum. And this is my free speech forum where I puke out my perceptions and opinions, where I send this all forward into the depths of the hell that we made. That's right. So we make a heaven for ourselves inside ourselves, and a hell for ourselves between our ears. That's it. So it's time to go ahead and end this segment. Have a great Friday, everyone. I love who I love, and those who love me, love me.